Hello, everybody. We're in the closet. Ange is here.
I am right here.
She's right here with me. We're in the closet. We're hanging. We're trying to figure out exactly what we want to discuss in the closet today. Aren't we?
That was your job. I said I'm just along for the ride today. Normally, normally I take over and talk too much, I feel.
Really?
I feel like so.
Huh.
I'm always driving.
Interesting.
Was that sarcasm?
No.
That was sarcasm. Yes, it was.
No sarcasm.
I do. I talk a lot. Do you not listen back to him? I mean, I talk a whole lot.
You are a talker.
That's what I do.
Did you see what I did up there on our door frame? Did you ever notice that?
Oh, that's good.
Cool. I had one I had to waste.
I like it.
Like I'd already peeled the back off of it.
Like we said before, we have a Cricut and we're making all sorts of stuff. We're making something tonight that I'm super excited about, but I can't. Well, you'll see.
Yeah, I'm sure you will talk about it at some point.
I'm not going to talk about, let me.
I didn't mean tonight necessarily. I just meant you'll talk about it.
No, but I will say I still have to make good on my bet that I made. My Steelers and Bengals bet. So I did go to GNC today where Brandon works. And his wife sent me her jersey because that's how I have to pay for the bet. Since the Bengals lost, I have to wear the Steelers jersey. And he said that I had to wear it on my busiest day at work next week, which will be Monday because I have 13 training sessions. I work 12 hours, literally.
12 hours?
12 hours with a small break in the afternoon.
Nice.
So I have to wear that piece of... Anyway. Not looking forward to it. That's okay. I got a little surprise to go with it.
You know what?
No, I don't.
This is good segue because I don't really have much to talk about except for what I'm dealing with right now or what I'm interested in or what I'm reading.
Okay.
Or
go
what?
Ahead. What is it?
But one term I've heard recently in the book I'm reading, listening to. And I'm still trying to figure it out because I haven't got too deep into it. But I know that's what she said. That's what he said, I guess.
I was trying to say anything.
Anyway, so, but it's really good, what I'm listening to. But this term, and maybe I just miss stuff or don't pay attention, but it's...
don't pay attention? What? Shocking. Sorry, go ahead. What's the term? What's the word?
Anti-fragility.
Anti-fragility. What does it mean?
Anti-fragility. This is what this says, and I'm gonna break it down. Now, look, again, I'm not an expert. I haven't even studied this much yet. I'm just listening to this guy talk about a lot of things, and this term's come up. It's what our generation's missing. It's like we're protecting our kids from this. This is important, and it's something we talk about all the time, whether it's discipline or training or whatever it might be. But here's what the first definition that came up, anti-fragility.
Can I see this word?
Yeah, it's all one word.
Anti-fragility.
You're fragile.
Fragile, okay.
So anti-fragility. So anti-fragile, whatever, is a property of systems that increase in capability, resilience, and robustness as a result of stressors, shocks, volatility, noise, mistakes, faults, attacks, or failures. It is a concept developed by Nassim Nicholas Taleb in his book Anti-Fragile and in technical papers. But basically...
Yeah, break that down. I don't get it.
Basically, in layman's term... In layman's terms,
it's like a professor.
I'm struggling. It's basically saying you get stronger, you get smarter, you get better when you deal with resilience. You have resilience, I'm sorry. Those terms up there don't make sense to me. But stressors in your life, shocks, volatility.
It's how you grow.
Right. Mistakes, faults, attacks, failures.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
That's like what we're trying to protect our kids from, right? I mean, not us, but I mean, I think that's where this guy's saying a lot of depression comes from, now it's starting because kids don't deal with anything.
No, because the parents swoop in and save the day every single time almost.
Right. And he kind of talked about bullying and meanness, which was a good example because a lot of parents call bullying meanness bullying because they're having a difficulty at school and some kids don't like them and they're calling them names or whatever.
I don't think that's bullying.
That's now bullying is very detrimental.
Sure.
And it can last a lifetime if you're bullied. And but there's some things like, you know, when the girls were in school, like in middle school, and they would have fights.
Yeah.
Remember that crap?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there'd be stupid stuff going on. And you'd see moms jumping in on text and moms calling
not
people.
This mom.
Well, no, it was like, hey, and I'm not saying that we did everything right. I'm saying that was a good instinct on your part to just say, girls, you're going to have to figure it out. I'm not always going to be here. Right.
I had that saying, figure the freak out. If they're not hurting you, if there's no physical violence, if they're not threatening you physically or trying to force you to do something you don't want to do, I stayed out of it. I'm sorry that she's mad at you because you went and had a sleepover with Amanda. I'm sorry that Stephanie is mad at you because you slept over at Amanda's house because Stephanie doesn't like Amanda.
Right, but you were much more not people out there. She's what? Much more motherly when she talked to him. She wasn't talking like you're talking now. You consoled him, but you didn't jump in.
I consoled him.
Right.
I'm not even talking. I know. Yes, I consoled them.
Yeah.
Until it got to the point of like every day there was something. I'm just like, I'm done. Like, just figure it the freak out. That's what
right.
I always tell them.
Right. And you know, we tell them. This is how you deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we gave them. And they don't listen because they're the kids. Right?
Right.
I mean, we
right.
tell them all the time how to deal with stuff. We don't know.
Right.
We don't know anything.
Right.
But I was very interested in this because he talked about everything. He's talking about everything from us not letting our kids, you know, when we were kids, we talked about that recently.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, I didn't have a phone. You didn't have a phone?
No.
I would be over the hill in the woods, gone from the time sun came up till dinner, right?
Well, yeah, I knew, you know how I knew to come home? Either my mom would open the front door and yell for me, or when the streetlight came on. If I don't yell at you before, come home when the streetlight comes on. That's how I knew when to go home.
Right.
Yeah, they shouldn't tell, I mean, yeah. And I'd go out everywhere. I'd go run around the neighborhood. I had parameters. I wasn't allowed to go to certain places, and I couldn't go past certain streets, and I couldn't,
right.
You know what I mean?
That's
that
how,
kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, you're in the neighborhood, though. It's just
right.
the neighborhood. Well,
yes.
Nowadays, I mean, people, there's places where you can get in serious trouble if your kid's under a certain age,
that's
and you're not
crazy.
Around them, and they can't get a hold of you, and it's, you know
yeah.
what I mean? It's just
yeah.
nuts. So kids aren't able to develop certain skills, certain
right.
instincts.
There, it's just helicopter parenting and
right. And, you know, it's like, well, what if somebody kidnaps your kid? What if somebody asks your kids? You know what I mean? It's like, I talk to my kids.
Right.
I told them, here's what you do if somebody you doesn't know talks to you. If somebody tries, you know what I mean?
Right.
But.
I mean, I will say that there's part of me that's glad that we live in a day where there's cell phones, and there's definitely a big part of me that thinks it sucks too at the same time. But I do, I'm not going to lie. I do like the convenience of it and being able to get a hold of my kids anytime and knowing that they have a way to get a hold of me if they need me. But at the same time, there's a lot of pains in the butts with them too. You know what I mean? Just like last night, Maddie went over to spend the night with her friend. And it was like 11 o'clock maybe. And I was like, oh, she didn't text me that she got over there because she drives. She's supposed to text me when she gets over there. And I didn't get a text. And it was like close to 11. I was like, shoot. And I knew I wouldn't be able to sleep if I didn't know if she was there. So I text her, no answer. Text her again, no answer. Called her, no answer. So then I started getting worried, right? If I didn't have the cell phone, you know, I would have just probably called the mom's landline, but probably not because it was 11. I probably would have just gone to bed with Faith maybe. But because I have this in my hand, I'm like, no, she has a cell phone. She, you know what I mean? Finally, I got a hold of her and she was actually asleep or so she said. But
right.
Anyway, but there's good and bad with it.
Yeah, and we're making it about parenting just because that's a lot of the examples he used. But then I took it to another level and I start thinking about what we've talked about, whether it be me at work or you at work or people working out. I don't want to get sore.
Right.
I don't want to hurt.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And then you don't, that the mindset that we have is not, we don't have the right mindset. Because one, you grow up not wanting to mess anything up. You know, you don't want to screw anything up. But that honestly, that's the best way. That's the way I learn.
Yeah.
Screw stuff up and I don't forget and I get better at it. And it's repetition that makes you great at things, no matter what it is. I mean, you can have no skills at something. If you do it, if you dedicate yourself to doing it every day, you can't play basketball. You can't shoot.
Shut up.
You're not a great basketball player.
You're a bully right now. You're a bully.
Exactly. I'm not saying it's not an interest of yours. Not something. But if you said, I'm going to spend an hour every day just ball handling, just dribbling, doing drills,
I would get better.
You would get insanely better if you did it for a year. You'd be stupid good at dribbling.
But I don't think that what you just said falls in line with everything.
I'm not applying it to everything. No, you're right.
What you said a minute ago, because I can't draw either. And I think that if I sat here every day for hours and drew, I still wouldn't be able to draw.
You could get better. I think you do have to have an interest. Okay, let's go back. There has to be interest. You have to have a natural knack at it, right?
I think so. I think some things
take certain people that are not. Yeah, some people just don't have a knack for certain things.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
But what I'm getting at, let's just go basic.
Okay.
Everybody can work out. I mean, we're talking about the average normal person with no disabilities. Even people with disabilities can, though.
Yeah, see it every day.
But I mean, people can work out, but people don't want to push themselves.
Right.
Right? They don't want to hurt. Nobody wants to hurt when they're working out. And that's what I tell people, like sales guys that I work with, and I'm like, what have you done today for your business? What have you done to make it grow that sucks?
Right.
You know, if you have to cold call, I shouldn't have to cold call. I'm 45 now. I did that all my 20s. It's not much time out of your day. You're going to do it the rest of your life. Don't let go of those things that suck.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what got you here. And it can keep you going.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just like with the working out thing, like you just said, somebody said that to me the other day. Actually, it was Friday. I was putting them through this class, and it was pretty intense. And it was stuff, all the stuff you really don't want to do, like burpees and decline crunches and mountain. So all this stuff. And she literally said, this is why I come here. She's like, I would never do this on my own. Never. And that's true. I mean, because we don't push ourselves. Well, the minute we get uncomfortable, if somebody's not in our face saying, do it right now, whether it's a boss, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a parent, whether it's a trainer or whoever, you slack off because we don't want to be uncomfortable.
Right. And I'm sure you hear that a ton because your job is making people uncomfortable. And I'm sure you hear that people say, I never thought I could do this.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd be able to do that.
Right.
Right. I mean, what is it? It's repetition.
Right. And I also hear a lot of complaining, too, and which is another reason why they come to me, because I don't care. Like, you can complain all you want, but do it anyway.
Right.
I mean, are we going to do this? Because you're just wasting your time complaining, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, and that's, what was the quote I heard? We fall to our, what did he say? We don't rise to the moment. Like people say, oh, I'll rise to the moment when it gets you fall to your highest preparation.
Yeah.
You fall to your best preparation every time.
Yeah.
You know, that's what, when I played basketball, that's what my dad said. We practice like freaking crazy. Nobody wants to practice. People want to play in the game.
Mm-hmm.
The game's nothing. The game should just, you shouldn't even have to think.
Right.
You know, you say, you got to practice and practice and practice to where it's all instinct. You're not thinking. You're just playing. You know, you just go out and you know what to do. You know where to go without having to think through it.
Right. That's true. And that's just like today we were shooting some videos in the gym and I was trying to do like, it's going to be kind of like a form and technique type of video thing. And I was trying to demonstrate the wrong way to do an exercise, this particular exercise. And it was like, my body wouldn't do it the wrong way. Like I couldn't get it to do what it wasn't supposed to do because for so long I've been doing this. So it's like I could do it in my sleep. You can wake me up at 3 a.m. and say, Angie, do an RDL right now real quick and I'll do it with perfect form.
That's because you've done it right.
Exactly.
So repetition,
exactly.
Right? Exactly. How about when you first started?
Oh, gosh, I was a mess.
But you had to constantly think about it. Now you don't even think about it.
Mm-mm.
Right?
It's like second nature.
And that's exactly what the great coaches, that's a quote I've used, I think, in here before. But one that I love that Nick Saban has, and he says, we don't practice until we get it right. We practice until we can't get it wrong.
Yeah, I like that.
So it doesn't matter. Okay, you got it right. Good. Move on. No. Get it right 100 times.
Right.
You don't even, like, messing up doesn't enter your mind.
Nick Saban needs to go and coach some of these basketball players that can't make their freaking free throws. Anyway, that's another story. He is a football coach, right?
Yes.
Nick Saban is a football coach. Don't tell me. For Alabama.
Very good.
Man! I should have probably do a sports show.
Probably not.
Just kidding. But no, it's true. I mean, you practice and practice. But that's what I think. I sound so old right now. Kids these days.
I think everybody wants to just be good at it.
No, I think they do too. I'm not saying that. But I think especially our kids these days, gosh, I'm sounding old. They want to just, they just think you naturally have things and you can naturally do things and you don't need to practice. Yeah, that's bull crap.
I think maybe it's what I was brought up. Nobody told me that people sucked at stuff and they had to work hard to do it. I mean, my dad did once I got to a certain age, but always, like, school, I was that way. Like, I just thought, man, I'm just dumb.
Right.
People were just smarter than me.
No.
You know? And it wasn't that way. I mean, yeah, they were smarter than me, but they just worked harder. Because when I figured it out, I was like, okay, so I have to put in 3 hours to most people's two.
Right.
Right?
But you can't do it.
But I can do it.
Right.
It's just I got to dedicate myself to doing it.
Right.
And that's...
I think another problem is people don't have patience and I feel like that we're like a instant gratification. You instantly want to get what you want.
Absolutely.
Now I'm guilty of that. I'm kind of that way too. Like I want something. I want it right now. I want to do anything I can do to get it right now. And I don't think that's always unhealthy. But there's just some things that don't work that way. You know what I mean? There's just some things.
Most things that are worth it.
Most things that are worth it are not that way.
No, it's right. Not that way.
Right, exactly. And that's what a lot of people in my line of work, I just did a video this week on it about, you know, getting to your goals, you know, because people are still setting goals. It's 2019, January still. And, you know, people are still setting goals and weight loss is a big goal for a lot of people. They want to lose weight, but people want to lose weight right now. And they want to have it done in a month. You know what I mean? And you can do that, but then it's not going to last. So anything that's worth it, like you just said, and it's going to last, is going to take some time. And people want to just come off of the couch, dive head first into the deep end of their fitness journey, and suck it all in all at once. Make all these changes, all these restrictions, start a workout program, stop eating this, stop drinking that, start eating more of this, start drinking more of this, start going to the gym more. That's too much too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to get it done instead of just pacing themselves and doing it the right way, even though it's going to take a little bit more time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because over restriction, I'm not going to get this is another whole podcast, but over restriction is one of the most detrimental things other than negative self-talk that you can do on a fitness journey.
Right.
Now you'll have some personal trainers that will say, oh, she is so wrong. And that's your opinion. This is mine. This is the way that I treat my clients and the way that I've done it. You know what I mean? And probably, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and most personal trainers that say over-restriction is fine is probably people who haven't had to fight for what they have. They've probably just been on it, and it just kind of come to them naturally, didn't have to really, never had an overweight struggle, never had, you know, their stomach stretched 10 times its size 3 times and had to get it back in shape, has never had to go through that. Now, maybe not everybody, but I'm thinking of two people in my head right now that don't agree with my school of thought that's true on. So anyway, I'm just saying some things just take time and you have to fight and it's going to hurt and it's going to suck and you're going to be knocked down and you're going to come against obstacles and you're going to be plateaus and everything, but you just can't stop.
And it's always going to hurt and it's always going to suck.
People always stop. They want to stop when there's resistance.
Though. Right. And we think it's going to go. We think that, oh, it's only going to hurt for a little while.
No, I'm still hurting.
Yeah, because you continue to grow and you continue to evolve and you continue to want to get to another level and you continue to set goals for yourself. So there's always some resistance and some strain, which makes you better.
Right.
It makes you faster and stronger.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you've got to push yourself. You've got to hurt. And that's what, you know, the mindset that even I used to have was, I went to the gym today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, before I really knew what it took to, and I mean, I'm not saying I'm in great shape, but I mean, I used to think, okay, I went to the gym, I exerted myself a little bit, and I did that same thing for years, you know, just the exact same thing, which meant my body got used to it.
Right. So it's my not heart reacting got used anymore.
To it.
Right.
Everything got used to it.
Right.
And it just, our mind's so, it's a funny thing. We could sit on the couch and watch a competition show and not be working out, hadn't been working out for a year, and sit there and think, oh, I could do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just need to train for a little while. I could do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, that's like me when I first started playing basketball like 5 years ago. I hadn't been working out, doing anything. You watch some basketball, you're like, man, I can't wait to get out there and go.
Yeah.
Yeah. 20 minutes into it, you're like calling an ambulance. Your body's quitting. You know?
No, I do. I totally
Our brains agree. Tell us lies constantly.
I know.
Tricks us.
This is true.
But anyway, I mean, I think I'm probably not on the term. I want to come back to it in another podcast for sure, the anti-fragility, when I know more about it. But it just interests me so much because it's the struggle, strain is great for our development. And it talked a lot about in these colleges now, you know, people aren't allowed to do certain things. There's like, you gotta, if the professor's gonna say something, I mean, we're talking about, there's stories where the professors are reading history that happened.
Right.
And kids get offended and
oh,
say
gosh.
It disturbs them.
Yeah,
because it has to do with something, either race or sexism or something.
Yeah.
But it happened.
So oversensitive.
2,000 years ago, or 200
Before
years ago,
they
whatever,
were even thought
you know,
of.
And it's there. You're learning something that's uncomfortable, and they're like, "Oh, this really bothers me.
Right.
That makes me uncomfortable, and I don't want to." So now the teachers in some schools, they have to say, "This might be disturbing." They have to give a warning.
Oh my gosh, why are we so sensitive?
You go to school when you go to college. You go to college. I thought. To get stronger in the way you think, like to deal with adversity. Like you're going to meet a bunch of people and you're going to run into professors. You're going to things that you're going to get your beliefs challenged. You're going to get your morals challenged. You're going to get all your thoughts challenged. Mm-hmm. And that's good for you.
It is good for you. But it's something that a lot of people can't handle. And especially younger people. I was that way kind of when I was younger. If you disagreed with, what I believed in my faith, or anything like that, or even oh my gosh, and I was just talking to somebody earlier this week about my view on abortion, and you know, back in the day, if you disagreed with me on abortion, which I'm 100% pro-life, and I will always be, and I will not come down off of my opinion, but if you didn't agree with me, if you sat across this table from me and you said you were pro-choice, I was shut down with you. Like, I wouldn't even listen. Like, I wouldn't even hear you
right.
out
yeah.
on why you are. I would just think you're an idiot and this and that. Well, now that I'm a little bit older, you know, I still am 100% pro-choice and I will never change my mind.
Right, but you go through life and you go through experiences and you know people.
I can sit in a room with somebody who is pro-choice or maybe even has had an abortion and I'm not going to judge them.
No.
I'm not going to think they're horrible people. I'm going to hear them out. They're not going to change my mind.
No,
but I have a whole different view on them and of them. Because I'm not going to lie. Like, back in my 20s, I would have thought, get out of my closet. Get out of my closet.
Yeah.
That's how, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I was
yeah,
very
it was
closed-minded
just really closed-minded
and judgmental.
Stuff.
I'm going to be the first to admit to that.
I was
but now we can
stuff.
Have an educated conversation.
Yeah.
I might see some of your points.
Sure.
And I can might understand where you're coming from, but it's not going to change my mind.
Right. It's not going for you. You
right.
know.
It's not going to change my mind ever.
Right. But you're at a point... Just like I'm going to point on certain things where it's just like, I'm not going to talk for you. Like, I'm
right.
not going to force my thoughts on you. Like, you have the way you're thinking. But that's what being an adult is getting in a room with somebody.
Right.
Like, we're like a bunch of kids, Democrats and Republicans. It's stupid. Mm-hmm. You adults, you should grow up and be able to be best friends with someone that you completely disagree with on stuff. You're talking about stuff people... want to kill each other over.
Right.
You should be able to feel, if I were pro-choice and you're pro-life, we should still be as close as we are.
Oh, and I would be. I mean, there's tons of my friends, I'm sure, that are pro-choice, you know? And that's fine. And maybe some of my friends have even actually had an abortion, which, okay, that's fine for you. But I mean, you see it all the time on Facebook with politics, and it just drives me crazy. I really honestly think...
You
should never talk about politics, religion, or anything like that on Facebook. But they, it has... Politics have not only broken up friendships, caused people to be unfriended and unfollowed and blocked. It's getting in the middle of families, I see. Like, I'm serious.
And it's insane.
And it's over stupid stuff.
People are fighting about stuff that's just...
What does it matter?
It has nothing to do. It's crazy.
It doesn't even matter. Like, we won't even... I don't talk politics with anybody. And I'm definitely not going to talk politics on this podcast. Because I'm not educated enough to do it, and because I don't care enough, and that's going to bother some people, because some people are all up in their tizzy about politics and how we should anyway. But
we're not let in enough on the stuff that matters, so we're never going to know.
That's pretty much what I'm saying. So anyway,
to think we are is crazy.
You should be able to have a conversation with someone and have a friendly debate, and at the end of the day, hug it out. You know, because you agree to disagree. But like, you know, I see that with our kids. Especially one of our kids, she was a lot like I was.
She is.
You're going to force, she forced, she won't even see your side.
No, that's what they're talking about today's, they close it down and they're not friends with you. They won't be around you. They want to be in this little huddle, a group of people, and they all agree, which is death.
How boring is that?
Well, it's death to your intelligence.
Right.
If you can't have conversations and argue your side and talk about it, then you're not going to grow.
No.
You mentally are getting weaker.
And that's what I was trying to teach her. We were actually, she and I were having the pro-life, pro-choice debate. That's who I was talking to, one of them. And she is pro-choice, and she can't understand why I'm not. And she just, and like, I'm listening to her, and I'm trying to teach her and show her by example that, okay, you know, you're my child, and you know, every parent wants their child to adopt their beliefs and their practices and everything else. But that's not fair. You know,
that's not really fair.
They need to learn on their own with your guidance. And I try to guide them in a certain way. Well, she didn't take my guidance on the pro-life thing. Okay, fine. But I was trying to teach her through example that, okay, see, we disagree right now, but I'm not... You know, I'm shooting down some of her points that she thinks that she has, and she's shooting down mine. But I told her at the end of the day, you are you, and you have your beliefs, and you have your right to your opinion and your right to your beliefs, as do I. But she wouldn't let it go like that. She kept coming at me.
She doesn't, and that's the problem, is it's nobody wins.
No.
I'm not even going to talk to you about abortion. I'm a man. I don't have a right to. I can't carry a child.
That's kind of true.
That's the way I feel about it. I'm never going to tell a woman what she can do with her body. I can't do that. I'm a man, and I can't tell my daughters.
Where it's not true, because... So are you sitting here telling me you're pro-choice right now?
No.
Yes, you just did. You said, I'm not going to tell a woman what she can do with her body. I am. You can't kill a baby.
Well, I'm just saying.
Okay, you can't. Here's what it's like. Don't get me fired up, because here's what it's like.
We're going to argue, and I don't want to argue.
Here's what it's like.
That's not what this is about.
Well, you shouldn't have said that a woman has a right to choose what she does with her body, because yes, most of the time she does. But when you choose, and sometimes you don't choose, sometimes unfortunate things happen. I get it. But that's not that child's fault.
No, I agree.
It's not that
That's how I feel.
Well, you just said a woman has a right to do with her body what she wants.
All I'm saying is I'm not going to... I'm pro-choice. But I'm just saying, I'm pro-life, sorry. What I'm saying is, if a woman, I stay out of it. I'm not going to argue with somebody and try to change their mind. You know what? If it's legal and you want to do it, you make that and you live with it.
No, and that's fine.
That's my point.
I get
just
that.
Like if prostitution's legal, you want to be a prostitute, go for it.
That's not my thing,
but hey, you get to make those choices. So yeah, in that sense, I am pro-choice. If it's you, we're going to have a conversation.
So you are pro-choice. You keep going back and forth.
No,
you just said, I am pro-choice.
No, I'm
so confused.
And it should, and that shouldn't be,
that's
a whole nother thing.
If you are, you are, and that's fine.
Yeah,
and
no,
that's
no,
not
no.
a deal breaker, like I just said. I mean,
I never even think about it. Even think it's something to talk about.
It is something to talk about. Well, I do, because babies are dying. Because these teenagers are going out and they're getting pregnant, and they don't want to deal with the mistake that they made, or they think they made,
right.
By having a baby. No, by having a baby. They get... These, okay, so
So you're going out and you're doing what you're not supposed to be doing anyway. I'm being a mom right now. And then you get pregnant. And it's just too much for your little precious soul to handle. But you could go do the deed. But now you can't take care of this life that you've created. So you're just going to go do away with this life. Yeah, that pisses me off.
I hear you.
Because that's a child. That's a child that if you just would go ahead and have it, if you don't want it, fine. Because I have a few friends that are married that can't have children that would be awesome parents. And that baby, that's not that baby's fault.
Right.
You could have this baby. You could deliver this baby. You could give this baby a life and the best gift ever given and give it to a family who can't have babies of their own. Selfish. Sorry. Now, I know there's situations where there's medical reasons and this and that, and there's fine line. I get that. I understand that.
Right.
And I understand that some people get raped. But honestly, I've never, this is where I try to sympathize because I've never been raped.
Well, in these situations, you can't speak to someone's individual situation.
I know. But I'm just saying for me and what I think I would do. Again, I've not been in the situation, so I can't 100%. It's like somebody who doesn't have kids try to tell me how to parent.
Right.
You don't have a kid, you don't know. Shut up.
Right.
Just shut up. So if somebody that were raped and had an abortion hears me right now, they're probably going to tell me to shut up. But I'm just telling you my opinion of what I think right now. Again, unfortunately, you were raped and you became pregnant. And I know that it was a traumatizing event. And for that 9 months, you're probably going to relive that. And it's going to be very traumatizing. And you're probably going to have some post-traumatic stress that goes along with that that would need to be taken care of.
At least.
But that baby is still a soul and it's still a life. And it's still could be a gift for someone who wasn't in that situation and didn't know anything about that situation, didn't know that baby came from a rape situation. You know what I mean? So I feel like, I still think that there's a way to take care of it all. But then again, I've never been in that situation, so I don't know. But I guess, and like what Maddie said to me, she said, but you can't, and she made a very good point. And I told her, Maddie, that was a very intelligent point. She said, you can't say, okay, abortion's only legal if A, B, and C happened. Like, if it's legal, it's legal for everyone, for no matter what situation, because they're not going to be able to control
Absolutely.
That.
Right.
So you can come in, a teenager can come in and say they were raped because you can get, say you can get an abortion only if you're raped and only for medical circumstances. Like, the mother is going to possibly die if she delivers the baby or whatever.
Well, they're just going to, there's so doctors that are going to be sympathetic and they're going to have
right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so she's like, that's your point.
It's like medical marijuana.
Yeah.
You know,
basically the same thing. So she made a valid point. I was like, that's a very good point. But so, you know, I'm just being honest. I mean, I've not been in the situation and I know there's probably many people who have, and I'm not trying to be insensitive to that at all. I'm just saying, for me, if I were in that situation, what I think I would do right now, but might not be at all.
Right.
But I can't foresee myself ever. I know, but I really cannot. I've been pregnant 3 times, and I have 4 kids. You know what I'm saying? So I know the adoption process and what a blessing that is, even though we didn't adopt a baby.
Right.
But I've had 3 babies grow inside of me, and that feeling and that knowing, you know. But then there's the whole argument of, well, if you do it before this amount of time, blah, 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 I'm not going to whatever. But that's just, I don't know how I got off of that. I get fired up when I talk about it. I don't know, but if anybody ever brings it up, I get fired up. But my whole point is, I am now a lot better at being open-minded and being able to talk to the person and still love them and not banish them from my entire existence because they're making me uncomfortable by disagreeing with me.
Right. It's a hot button for you.
It is. And that's probably, we start talking about a little bit of politics. That's why. Ugh. That's probably the only issue that would get me that.
I mean, I can still remember back when I was probably early teen. I mean, like the late 80s. I wasn't a teen in the late 80s, but you know what I mean? In the late 80s, I remember interracial marriage and stuff like that.
Oh, was yeah.
Really bad. Like, yeah. The people were, that was not even a thing now.
Yeah. Well, it is.
Not overall.
Not overall.
You see it all over. Back then, it was like a religious thing. That's the funny thing. How did that disappear?
I never really felt that way.
I don't feel that way. Never have. It irritates me though that religions.
Oh, me too.
Decide what's good and bad, and then they change their viewpoint.
Exactly.
Right. So these Christian people that were back then saying, "Well, that's just not how God wanted because of this, this, and this, and because of these and this." Here's where it says in the Bible. Why aren't they preaching it now?
Right.
Because they can. Just like in 5 years, they won't be able to preach it against homosexuals because they know they're wrong on that.
Right.
It's they get married. Make your choice.
Right.
Do what you want to do. It's not up to me. You know what I mean? It's crazy. And for people to say, this is what God said, and we're going to kind of have a little hatred towards you.
Right.
Or we're going to tell you that you can't be happy.
Yeah, because how is that right? Or you can't make
choices that aren't my choices.
Right.
They have to be what they have to make. You have to make the choices I make, or else you're going to hell.
Right.
Or else you're not welcome here. And I'm not talking about every church or every religion or even my church. I'm talking about just stuff that I've seen, and that's the problem with groups being all like-minded and not challenging each other.
Right.
Nobody wants to step up. What's church built around? Guilt.
Yeah.
You can't say anything.
Right.
Right? You can't challenge anybody. So people just get dumber and dumber.
Yeah. And I think that's...
You can't say... Pat, you literally cannot say to your pastor or even your parents, if you think about it, I don't think that happened in the Bible. That sounds crazy to me. That sounds absolutely ludicrous. How did that... Right. There's no way that...
They'd be praying for your soul.
They literally would be like... It'd be like, you don't talk like that.
Yeah.
God's real. You know what I mean? Which is insane.
Did you see? That reminds me. That reminds me. I wish I could find it so bad right now. Shoot, who posted it? I'll have to find it later and show you. But it's a video clip on Instagram of this little boy and they're at it's a black church and they're at, you know, and because you know they're very energetic and loud. Yeah. So
they anyway, worship.
So this little boy was going up on stage and you could see these ladies and kind of see these ladies in the audience like getting excited because he's going to say something good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They give this little tiny boy the microphone. He's probably four. He goes, it gets real quiet and he has the microphone. He goes, I'm sick of this church. And he just he throws the microphone down and just walks out. And you can hear the people in the audience go, like, you know, like they were appalled. And but then somebody in the audience said something like, something positive. It was just it was hilarious. I'll have to try to find it for you. But that's kind of how we feel. But like, could you imagine, you know, just standing up in church one day and be like, I'm sick of this church. Yeah. Not I'm sick of God or I'm sick of this church.
Yeah.
You would be like, you'd be on every prayer list. The deacons would be calling. The little old ladies would be talking. You'd just be,
and it just amazes
so
me,
lost, it's so not, backslidden.
Yeah, well, it's you know church. What I mean? It's religion. It's not. I'm not talking about God right now. I'm talking about
right.
I'm not talking about God or a higher power or any of that. I'm talking about what people have created by saying they know God.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like they've created this crazy stuff and this like, it's just, to me, it's just, you're discouraged from thinking in a lot of ways. And that's what I'm talking about.
And isn't
you
got
a challenge. Just
isn't,
like,
isn't that what a pastor's supposed to do? Take that comment that you made. Like, I don't
think there
that,
are a lot of them that do.
And they need to say, okay, what? Let's talk about that. You know what I mean? And like, instead of thinking that you're a horrible person, you don't believe in the Bible.
But I think a lot of them do. I think a lot of the pastors are great, and I think it's more when it's someone close to you that challenges that doesn't believe. That, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because it's fear based. It's,
yeah.
You're in your fear. Oh, my baby's gonna go to hell.
Right.
Or,
right.
Oh, they're gonna backslide. They're gonna do whatever. So it's a fear thing. It's like just don't question things.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
I'm not saying I think pastors probably love dealing with that. A lot of them. And I think a lot of them deal with it probably pretty well. The problem is, with everything in life, when it's about winning, you lose. So if you're trying to, if your conversation with that person who's an atheist or agnostic or doesn't believe this certain thing happened, or in your mindset when you talk to them as a pastor, it's got to do with anything.
Right.
Is to win. And
yeah.
To get them to submit and say, yes, I believe.
To, like, win the debate or win the argument. Yeah.
You lose.
Right.
Let them, and that's the whole thing I struggled with, is why are we trying so hard?
Yeah.
If God's in control and you believe that, why are you worried about this person?
Right. And this is something that we didn't grasp when we were younger because,
no,
you know what I mean? But now
gosh,
that we've
no.
been out on our own, because we were under that realm of, like, that kind of thinking of like, don't question it, just do it, walk the walk, just walk the walk, keep your mouth shut. And when we kind of got out of that and got on our own, we're able to, oh, we can finally think for ourselves. We can finally study for ourselves and see things, you know, on our own. And
you meet a lot of good people. I have best friends that are atheists. You know, I have an atheist that's one of my great friend. And we joke around all the time. We have a good time. But, I mean, he's a great guy. He's a great person. He's got a great family, you know. He's always smiling. He's always happy.
Right.
He's, well, let's say he's as happy as someone who says they're Christian or who says they're a Muslim or who says they're, you know, whatever religion they are that makes them happy. Scientologists, whatever. I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, you meet people like that and you talk to them about why they believe the way they do and you go, cool. You know, I'm not here to save him.
Right.
And that's why he's a friend of mine. It's because, who am I? One, who am I? You know that. But that's the mentality of Christians: is you've got to save them. You got to save the neighbor. You got to save. No, you got to. You better worry about saving yourself. You better worry about living a good life.
Exactly.
You better worry about keeping your stuff in line, and then maybe. All the things we say about God, he'll be that. That God will be that person you say he is.
Right.
And he doesn't need you to get in the way.
Just, like you said, just worry about yours. Why are we all concerned about everybody else?
See,
you
know now I'm preaching.
I know. See?
So I've gone through a... Shoo! So now I'm a, what would you say, a pro-choice atheist preacher. All in one podcast.
Oh, that's all jacked up. That's all sorts of jacked up.
But it's a little over the top. A little over the top tonight. We got a little wild.
Gosh, you started out like, oh, what are we going to talk about? Then you got me out. We got all fired up.
I've tried for so long to avoid that with you. Just so no tables get thrown. Or
what? Like, pro-life? I know. I'm just that way. Don't hate me, y'all. I can't help it. I'm just passionate about it. But honestly, I'm not judgmental about it.
No, you're not. I know. We have friends that are, they know how you, they know your stance and they know theirs.
I know some... Very teenagers that people. Have had, you know, abortions.
Oh, absolutely.
And I love them. You know
and
what
we
mean?
Don't and love them like those people that think, oh, poor you, you're stupid and you're wrong and we love you anyway. That's not what we're saying.
No.
Respect them. I'm not saying I agree with people.
No.
But I still respect your stance.
Yeah, I don't agree with the way you think. Exactly.
It's fine.
But at the same time, you've got to listen to me and respect me and my opinions.
That's where,
and my values and what I think. You know what I mean?
Like, what makes the world go round.
Yeah. So there you go. There you have it. But yeah, not many things will get me fired up, but that will with a few other things. I'm sure we'll touch on those one day. But
before we go, I have an ad.
You have an ad?
Yeah, we got an ad. So this episode of In the Closet was brought to you by Abortion Clinic number 51.
Goodbye.
On Ocean Avenue.
Ocean Avenue. You're so dumb. Bye.
Good night.